Think back for a second. When was the last time you got done with a long day, climbed into bed, pulled the covers over, but instead of falling to sleep, you just sat there staring at the ceiling? Was it last week? Was it a month ago? If you're like me, it doesn't take long to think back, because the older I get, the more frequently those type of nights come. And that can be a problem when you're trying to do studies like we're doing. And the problem I find is that the more aggressively I feel like I'm pursuing what God has for me, the more frequently those nights come. Let me tell you about a season of sleepless nights in my life. You see, going to college for me was this leap of faith moment. But it was a leap of faith moment with a bit of a crash landing. I literally packed up everything I had after high school and moved 500 miles away from everything I knew to go to college in pursuit of what I felt like God had called me to. And when I got there, I found I had the most reckless roommates the world has ever met. I'm not kidding. These guys were pranksters at every level. And because I was living with them and trying to do my studies, well, that just made me a bigger target for these guys. One night, in kind of an ultimate prank type mode, they threw open the second floor window, unplugged my computer, and just chucked it into the woods behind our dorm. I spent a lot of nights that semester in bed, staring at the ceiling, going, God, why in the world did you bring me here? And asking a more significant question of myself, is this really worth it? And that, to me, is the danger of those type of moments, of those sleepless nights. And so if you're anything like me, I know a lot of you guys are moving towards graduation. You're looking at kind of the fuzzy picture beyond it, whether you have a church that you're already expecting to go to or whether you're like me and searching for that next step. You're asking that question, is this worth it? Is this instability I feel worth it? And you're tempted, the temptation is to pursue the easy road, to pursue what you feel like gives you a job and a salary and a retirement package, rather than perhaps pursuing what God ultimately wants of you or what you feel he's called you to. And therein lies the danger for us. Our lives feel like towers of Jenga blocks. Sometimes we feel like if one more thing goes wrong, this whole thing's going to come crashing down. And the temptation is to take the easy road and perhaps sacrifice what God has called us to. So today I want the scriptures to speak to us on the issue of what it takes to pursue what God has for us with boldness. And in the midst of that, to talk about stability and how we do react to this feeling of instability in our lives. So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to look at Psalm 125 today. We're going to read three stanzas that the psalmist put together to help us with these issues of boldness and stability. The psalm itself reads like this. Those who seek the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Jerusalem, as the mountains surround her, so the Lord surrounds his people, from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous, otherwise the righteous might put forth their hand to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright. But as for those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them away with the doers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. Three stanzas, three things to talk about today. First, a picture of stability. Secondly, a reason for our stability. And thirdly, an expectation that God is at work securing our lives. A picture, a reason, and an expectation. That's where we're going in our time together. Now, if you look at the first two verses, you'll see the first stanza. And you'll notice that the bookend of each of these verses is forever. Kind of ties them together. The picture that the psalmist paints for us in this first stanza is that God provides stability for us. That God provides stability. But instead of just stating some simple fact like that, the psalmist goes to a picture of what that looks like for us. And for him, that's the city of Jerusalem. Now, cities in the ancient world were a little different than cities today. They were surrounded by walls, and they actually formed fortresses that protected people in times of danger. As you know from biblical history, there were armies that came against Jerusalem that took months, even years, to conquer that city. So when the psalmist says that our lives are like the city of Jerusalem in terms of stability and that it can't be moved, That's the most stable picture the psalmist has available to him. So it should be a powerful image to us in terms of what God does for our lives. Secondly, in that following verse, the psalmist talks about the source of that security. And he takes from the city itself, he talks about looking around you and seeing the mountain range that surrounds Jerusalem. Some of the peaks around Jerusalem are literally higher than Mount Zion itself. And the psalmist says, the way that those mountains surround the city is the way God surrounds us. Now, if you're a sci-fi kind of fanatic, seen one or seen all sci-fi movies, you've seen a ship with shields. And that's the picture that the psalmist is painting for us. That there's this impermeable layer of protection. And it's not just mountains. It's actually God himself forming a barrier for us. I'm reminded of movies like Return of the Jedi or Independence Day, where the whole premise of defeating the enemy lies in taking down the shields of that ship. And we have shields that cannot be taken down, because they're made up of the omnipotent, all-powerful God. And so stability for our lives, though we don't feel it all the time, is there. Because God is the source of that stability. That's the picture that the psalmist paints for us in the first stanza of this psalm. But we move from a picture, an emotional visual illustration, to more of a logical argument as we get into the third verse, second stanza. And the psalmist makes an assertion about what security looks like in times of oppositions. And here's his premise: that God does not allow the righteous to be oppressed for long. That God does not allow the righteous to be oppressed for long. You see, idea of cities and conquerors, the psalmist talks about a scepter not being able to come to rest over a land of righteous people. And he's pointing to that principle that we all know from our study of the scriptures, from our knowledge of the prophecies, that God is constantly at work in the midst of our world to lift up the righteous and to tear down the wicked, that he overthrows evildoers. And so, no matter what, in times of opposition, we have to remind ourselves, as the psalmist reminds us, that times of opposition are temporary. God doesn't allow wicked people to seem successful. And we as righteous people aren't tempted by the success of wicked people, because we know it's temporary. We know it's temporary. That's the reason why we have security in times of disaster, in times of opposition. That's the reason the psalmist gives us. In my own life, in this college story I told you about, those roommates were with me for a semester, but they eventually got what was coming to them. So the school caught them, reprimanded them, and eventually threw them out. And though it made for a long 4-month semester for me, I felt vindicated when I realized God was at work, and the wicked people always get what's coming to them. It's kind of like our American movies. How many American movies do you watch where good doesn't triumph in the end, and wicked doesn't get what's coming to them? So the reason the psalmist gives us is that God doesn't allow the righteous to be oppressed for long. And that should be a hint towards our stability as well when we seek God. Finally, we move from a picture and a reason to an expectation that the psalmist expresses as we come to the last two verses of this psalm. And you'll notice the shift. You almost have to pause as you read the verse, because he goes from talking about God to talking to God. And he almost just cries out, "Do good, O Lord, to those who are good. But as for those who are upright in their hearts, but as for those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them away with the doers of iniquity." This direct speech is kind of striking, and it should be to us. It's kind of like he's shifting posture based on what he's proclaimed already about our stability. And he leaps forward. To me, I see a rabid sports fan when I hear these words. You know that guy. That guy that's just crazy about the Cowboys. No matter how bad they're doing in their football season, he is going to the games and he is cheering them on and he's throwing the parties. And what's he doing? When they play every play, he's expecting to come out in their favor. He's waiting for the fumble when the other team has the ball. He's expecting that every field goal that gets kicked goes right through those uprights. He has a posture of expectation towards God. And that's the posture that the psalmist is giving us as he cries out to God. It's not a posture that says, okay, I believe this. It's a posture that says, I'm looking for this. I expect to look around me in life and see God at work, raising up, doing good for the good, and casting the wicked out from among us. And that brings us back to where we were when we started, moving towards a posture of boldness rather than seeking safe, secure, comfortable assignments when we pursue God. Because it really can be that whether we're already in a position or whether we're searching for a ministry position, that we shrink back from the things that God has called us to. And we fall into the role of just doing our job rather than actually ministering to people. That we fall into a role of pleasing other people rather than actually letting God transform their lives and measuring our success on the fact that God is working in our midst. And that is the danger, because fear and doubt and anxiety, they threaten to drive our ministries. And boldness is truly what needs to drive those ministries. But we have to make a conscious choice to change our posture in that way. And the reason that we make that conscious choice is because the picture the psalmist has given us is that God is our wall of protection. He's our shield. And our lives cannot be destroyed as we seek Him. And secondly, the reason that we know that God is at work in the world, not allowing the righteous to be oppressed for long. Whether people fall under oppression for days or weeks, months, years, maybe even decades, that God will eventually throw down the wicked and raise up the righteous. And finally, we have the expectation of the psalmist that God is actively at work around us, securing our lives, raising up and casting down the wicked. And those three things should give us the boldness we need. They should take our minds from worrying about our own security to worrying about being bold and pursuing boldly what God has for us. Our life may feel like a tower of Jenga blocks. We may worry that one more factor that comes in and bumps us is going to shake those blocks down. But we have to, in our hearts and in our minds, realize that God is in charge of stability. That though we may look like a tower of Jenga blocks, we have steel foundations. As long as we're seeking Him, we can't be knocked off course. We can't be cast out of His plan for us. That should be enough to give us the boldness to pursue what God has for us. In my own leap of faith, that story from college, I managed to get through that semester. In terms of protection, I was able to gather my computer up out of the woods that night that my roommates threw it out, plug it in, and found that my work was still there, that somehow a tube monitor had survived a two-story fall. God had protected me. And as I said, as I endured the oppression I felt from them, God eventually cast down those wicked people and threw them out of school and freed me up to have a very productive remainder of that year and years following. It's a leap of faith. It started to feel like a crash landing. But I wasn't willing to give up. And because I wasn't willing to give up, I discovered this truth, even though I really didn't know it. But see, in my heart, I don't want that to be just a great story about my college years. I want that story to be reflected in the future, not just in the past. I want to give this sermon in a decade talking about the bold decisions I had to make without feeling like I had much stability in my life right now, and the way that God used that in my future ministry. And it's my hope that you will pick up the scriptures, and you will pick up the scriptures, and you will pick up the scriptures one day and be able to proclaim the same story of protection and of security from the scriptures, because you've lived boldly in that same way. And that's my prayer for you, If I can sum this psalm up simply, I would say this, that God gives us the stability to live boldly. That God gives us the stability to live boldly. So my exhortation to you is to live boldly. And I pray you do.